This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello everybody, my name is Greg Gazin and welcome to another exciting episode of the Toastmasters podcast. Toastmasters is celebrating its 90th anniversary. Yes, 90 years. And we have a special guest with us today. We have Paul Clark. He lives near Palm Springs, California. He's a published historian who has researched early Toastmasters history. Let me tell you a little bit about Paul before we bring him on. Paul grew up in Orange County and witnessed that county's conversion from rural fields and groves to urban housing tracts. It's also where the Toastmasters seed was planted in 1924. Paul received degrees in history from Cal State Fullerton. He worked for 30 years as a county planner, and after retiring in 2009, he picked up on an old love, history. He's had a book published through the History Press entitled Pioneer Ranch Life in Orange, A Victorian Woman in Southern California, which are his memoirs of his great-grandmother's experiences settling with her husband in early Orange County and establishing one of the earliest orange groves in that area. He's been a Toastmaster since 1985. He was the District 12 governor that's located in Southern California from 1996, 1997, and that year he was select distinguished and ninth in the world. In 2003, he was honored with a presidential citation for his faithful district and regional leadership. He's a regular at Toastmasters International conventions, having attended up to 20 and counting. At this year's event in Kuala Lumpur, this past August, Paul helped coordinate volunteers for the history booth. That sounds pretty exciting. More recently, he's also recognized the Toastmasters' 90th anniversary with an article published by the Orange County Historical Society called Staying With It, The Early Years of Toastmasters International. Welcome, Paul. It's exciting to have you here with us today.
Well, good morning to you, Greg, as well. I'm pleased to be with you and with the podcast.
Now, I know a lot of current history is documented, but a lot of the early stuff, we don't necessarily see a lot of it. When you're talking about the early years, are you talking about the first year, first five, first 10 years?
Well, Greg, what happened was, at least as far as my story and how I became interested in this subject, particularly the early years of Toastmasters, was about two or three years ago, I recognized that Toastmasters was approaching a 90th anniversary. And as you indicated in the introduction, I grew up in Orange County, went to college there, and have an experience of doing research, historical research, in Orange County historical archives and libraries. So I thought, oh, gee, I wonder what I might be able to, as they sometimes say, dig up that hasn't already been done, or perhaps confirm what was been done, and maybe write a little bit more explicitly, particularly about how it affected the county as a whole, Orange County and Southern California. I started visiting libraries in Orange County and went to the Anaheim Public Library. They have a heritage room. It's one of the best local history and California history research facilities in Southern California, in my opinion. As I would ask the other librarians, and I'd ask them, I said, what do you have in the way of a file on Toastmasters or your community service clubs? And most of the other libraries would pull out a file of newspaper clippings that would go back about, 20, 30 years, which was nice. But the Anaheim one, they brought out such a file, but then they also brought out an archive box.
Wow.
I looked at that, and I said, well, that's interesting. What's that? So I opened it up, and there I found the handwritten minutes of the Anaheim Toastmasters Club, Club Number 2, from day one in January 1926, their first meeting, all the way through. It was a pretty complete record to about 1930. Somebody apparently about 35 years ago, who knows, this had probably been kicking around somebody's garage, and somebody said, well, what do we want to do with this? Oh, we'll give it to the library. So they did. Well, this was gold. because what this did, it filled a void. It gave a detailed story. It put flesh on the bones of how the original clubs got the program that we currently operate under in Toastmasters, how they got it started. And it was amazing by going through this minute book just to see, oh, they started their meetings on time and they ended their meetings on time. They went through and they collected fines, because if somebody didn't show up and they didn't have an excuse, well, they fined them. They established a treasury, and they had meetings and reached out to the community. They even had, very early on, a mentorship program where the more experienced Toastmasters were supposed to sit down and help the newer Toastmasters in the club with the first speeches. And they had, Dr. Smedley had provided it for them, what they called printed lessons. And this was very early, January, February 1926, that Dr. Smedley, who, by the way, came to the club, Anaheim Club, and again, this was the second club, he came to the club, gave them lessons, that the printed lessons that they had developed in the first club in Santa Ana, and they were using that essentially as the manuals that we use today, that started all the way back then. And the need to provide mentorship and provide for an effectively led meeting with Toastmasters and evaluators, all that was right there in that book, in that handwritten book. Unfortunately, in my research, very little has survived from the first club. There are newspaper articles in the Santa Ana Register that describe the activities of that first club, but no minutes, no original minutes. So this is was a wonderful thing to be able to find. It was protected by the Anaheim Public Library all these years, and now is, in my opinion, this particular document is probably the oldest known documents that were created by a Toastmasters that are known to exist.
Well, maybe because of all the digging that you're doing, maybe someone will hear about it or read about it or see something that might say, hey, we should probably see if there is anything left over. You never know. So what were the meetings like?
And the first club was even more so this. They all had an association with the YMCA, the Young Men's Christian Organization. That's where Dr. Smedley had his professional job, so to speak. He was secretary of the YMCA in Santa Ana, and that's where he formed it. And he formed it as an adjunct to the Y. While you didn't have to be a member of the Y to be a member of the Toastmasters Club, most of them effectively were. And it was a part of a larger effort in the community to educate people, to allow them to become to speak and to lead, to provide. Leadership is one of the, even in the earliest days, Smedley recognized the leadership issue, to be able to effectively work with people, to develop programs and to work in committees. All that was part of the original program.
Wow. He seemed like such a humble guy, because I'm looking back at the October issue of the Toastmasters magazine, and in 1965, I believe it was either a quote or Dr. Smedley had written this, and it says, open quote, "As I look back over half a century of connection with the Toastmasters movement, I'm impressed by the fact that a simple idea put to work in so simple a manner has grown into such an instrument of service for so many people. It must have served a real need." In your research, what have you found out about Dr. Smedley in terms of not just his accomplishments, but what was he like?
Well, Dr. Smedley came from the Midwest. He was born in Illinois in 1878, to be exact. And he came from a rural area in that Waverly, Illinois was where he was born. It's located southwesterly of Springfield, the Illinois state capital. And he came from a family. His father was named Thomas, and his mother was named Martha, and his father was a merchant. They had at least two sons. One was Ralph, who was the youngest, and then Frank, who would be the oldest. There was also a sister in there, but I'm not quite sure. Her name was Mary, and I'm not quite sure. That may have been from an earlier marriage. She was a lot older than both Ralph and Frank. He lived in the rural area, grew up as a youngster. I guess I'm told and have seen references where he had to be sometimes disciplined to stay out of the old swimming hole and pay attention to his work, his schoolwork. But eventually, he did graduate from high school. He taught school for a while, but while he was doing that, he wanted to improve himself, do something more, and he decided to go on to college. And he went to a school there in Bloomington, Illinois. He finally graduated there with a BS, Bachelor of Science, in 1903. And that's something to be thought of as very special, because back at the turn of the 19th to the 20th century, I'm told maybe 6% of the adult population had a high school diploma, let alone a college degree. So to have a college degree or even a high school diploma in 1903 put you in a fairly unique and perhaps even elite area. But he had the drive, the desire to do that. And from there, he then entered professional life, started working with the YMCA there in Bloomington after he graduated. What I've discovered is the YMCA was a strong force on the college campus that he was at. He was probably a member of it. He had participated in their activities. Just looking at the Wesleyan Argus, which is the college newspaper available on the computers these days, his name pops up as in connection with activities that were associated with the YMCA there on the campus. So he knew from campus life where he's probably going to go, and that YMCA became his vocation from all of his professional life thereafter. He started his first club in 1905 there in Bloomington, then went on to other YMCAs. But the problem in those early years was he would start a club, then he would move on, but the club would then die. There wouldn't be enough interest to keep it going. As I sometimes say, he was carrying the Toastmaster idea, which he envisioned as early as 1905 in Bloomington, in his suitcase from place to place. Because as he would go to some place, he would set it up, and then he'd move on. Finally, he came to Santa Ana, California, 1922. And at that time, Santa Ana civic leaders wanted to build a brand new first-class YMCA building there. And he came because he had an architectural experience and construction experience during his previous years. He was in charge of building that building, financing it, getting it underway. And then when it was finished in 1924, early 24, he was celebrated as a major city leader there in Santa Ana. People in Santa Ana thought it was great.
Sounds like it.
And then at that point, he figured, now's the time to unveil my Toastmasters idea. He then created and organized Club Number 1, which still exists, as the Smedley Chapter 1 Toastmasters Club. Unfortunately, it doesn't meet in Santa Ana anymore. It does meet in Orange County in the city of Irvine, but it's still a functioning, very viable club to this very day, 90 years later. In fact, they celebrated last month their 90th anniversary. This club, the Smedley Chapter Number 1, is Dr. Smedley's legacy. He was a member of that club until his death in 1965, and kept on with Toastmasters, of course, throughout his entire life. Essentially, he was a Toastmaster for over 60 years. When he passed away, he was buried in Orange County, in Newport Beach, to be exact. He would be flattered more than anything else, to see just exactly how it's grown. I don't think he had any idea it would grow quite the way it did, but he did see international clubs in Scotland and Canada and other locations before he died. So he knew it was going to be a worldwide organization, I'm quite sure.
Toastmasters did start in the U.S. When did it become international? When did the first club outside of the U.S. start?
Well, it's kind of unclear. The issue is we are reliant on a lot of what Dr. Smedley said in his book, The Story of Toastmasters, which of course I would recommend to anyone who wants to understand the early years or even the development of Toastmasters. It's his memoir, essentially. He said in his memoirs that there was a club in British Columbia that was seeking to join the organization in 1930. Now, that's all I understand. He said seeking. Didn't seem to me that, from the records that I've seen, it wasn't until about the mid-30s that there was a club effectively formed in Canada. So by about that time, there was certainly an international interest in Toastmasters.
Today, women make up over half of the membership in Toastmasters International. But that wasn't always the case. Toastmasters started off as an organization for men only.
Greg, the women, they had their own organization prior to 1973, when women were first allowed into Toastmasters officially. It was called Toastmistresses International, and that got started in 1938. Dr. Ralph Smedley did assist them in forming that, and women had always been interested in Dr. Smedley's Toastmasters idea, even from the beginning, even though they couldn't be formal members.
I was under the impression, the story that I was told was about how the women formed a club, but just they all registered with their first initial.
Oh, well, that was much later. That probably a story associated with Helen Blanchard, who was the first woman international president of Toastmasters. And no doubt that occurred. There was probably women who were members of Toastmasters clubs, and they were kind of snuck in. But that's a phenomenon more recent. At any rate, I guess my thrust of my story is women were always interested in the Toastmaster idea. They eventually formed their own organization and profited for a while, but then when women were allowed in the Toastmasters, that ladies' organization, Toastmistresses, has sort of faded away, or faded, let me put it that way. Still exists.
Well, Paul, this has been extremely enlightening, and I know we could speak for hours, and I'm sure that you've gone deep into the research. On that note, I'm just going to ask, where can people go if they want to find out more about Toastmasters' 90th anniversary, some of the resources that are available, and even perhaps some of the research that you've done?
I think the first place they should look at is www.toastmasters.org, the international website, and type in under the search engine history, and you'll come up with all the information you want. You could also type in 90th anniversary, and you'll also have a great deal of information will come down, including I'm pleased to see a PowerPoint presentation on Toastmaster history, which I prepared for World Headquarters staff. It's what I would call a short version of the history and could be done in the club level or perhaps even at the district level. It's about a 10-minute presentation and doesn't require a whole lot, it's sort of self-prompting. But that's the first place I would tell people to go. The next would maybe purchase Dr. Smedley's books, in particular his Story of Toastmasters is one of the best right there. Then you might be looking for, both at your club level and at your district level, is there a district or club historian, somebody who's interested at that level in putting together records? And those people are important because they can help preserve club and district records, and they can then allow for, because you're protecting that sort of thing, to recognize your own club or district milestones and celebrate them, much like the district of the world is now celebrating the international 90th anniversary. There are many districts and certainly clubs out there that are constantly celebrating various anniversaries as well.
Do you have any final comments?
The history of Toastmasters is very rich and varied and encompasses so much within the social history of not only the United States, but increasingly the world. And in a way, I feel myself, as well as other historians like past international president Tim Keck, who's also a historian, or interested in Toastmasters, as well as others, that we've just begun to scratch the surface.
Paul Clark, thank you for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
My pleasure as well. Good luck.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.